Tonight we're going to focus our attention on the second commandment that God has given to us. It might seem a bit trivial, really. It's not really about doing something terribly big. It's about avoiding doing something. And God says that we're not to make any images, any pictures, any effigies of anything living, either human or not human, animal, things in our imagination, things that we just somebody made up a long time ago. We're not to make any graven images for any reason at all. We're not to use them to worship God at all. Now, we can see how this is obviously a good commandment, because our religions all around the world, religions have always had likenesses. They've always had gods and idols. They've always had statues, totem poles, paintings, pictures, all sorts of things to depict deities of one sort or another. We have the Buddha. We can all picture the deity of the Buddha, which is usually a large, golden, fat person. Somebody made that up. And that's one. We can have Shiva, we can have Lakshmi, we can have Ganesh, pictures of the many, many Hindu gods of one sort or another. And you hear about them in school and we see pictures of them. We can kind of bring them into our minds at times. The one who's blue, that's Shiva. Is that Shiva? I'm not very sure. Ganesh is the one with the elephant trunk. So those kind of likenesses. We can go into Christian churches and we can find them there as well. We can find effigies of Mary, the Lord Jesus on the cross, the apostles, the saints, the popes, all sorts of things. We've got pictures, we've got paintings of these things. Every artist usually does a picture of Christ in some form or another. You can see them in all of our art books everywhere. Everybody has an idea what he looked like, what they think about him. People paint effigies. People paint images of the Lord Jesus. But this commandment says we're not to do that. Well, not much harm in it really, is there? You know, if I have a little cross and I'm praying, it might help me to focus on God. Nothing wrong with that, is there? A picture in church. I want to talk to God and look at the picture and picture of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Maybe that helps me to be sorry for my sins. Maybe it helps me to focus my attention on what he did on the cross. Surely there's no harm in that. Well, God knows exactly what we are like. He made us. And he made us to worship. That's good. But the trouble is, we go wrong so easily. And although we have these pictures which might look nice and seem nice and might be so helpful to help me focus on God, the problem is I very quickly focus on those pictures and those statues. So whenever I think of God, I see the picture in my head because I've seen all these other pictures. And I get this false idea of what God is like. We cannot see him, he's invisible. I get a false idea what the Lord Jesus looked like, what it was like for him on the cross. Nobody, I suppose, really could ever paint a picture of what it was like for him on the cross. And God in his wisdom tells us you're not to go down that road at all, because it will lead you to worship those things and not me. It's our human nature, it's what we do, and so it is good to avoid that. We're not to have idols. Now, we've talked about idols as being things that we make, that we set up to help us to worship God. An effigy, a statue, some sort of a token, or a lookalike of somebody in the past who was very, very religious, and we have it to look at. And it helps us to think about God. God says no, but there's other kinds of idols as well. In our world today, we love to lift up idols. There are people who do amazing things in sport. They win all these races. They're very strong, can fight really well, they can run really fast, they can throw really hard. And they are like given a superstar status. They are super sportsmen and women. And they are lifted up and they become like idols. Look at these amazing people. Look at what they've done. If only we could all be like that. In the music world, this happens all the time. Somebody who's very talented, somebody who's a great musician or writes great songs, a group of people who write great songs, and they're lifted up and they become superstars. They go on X Factor, something like that there. They become lifted up and they're regarded as being really, really special above other people. They become idols. In fact, the American show is called Pop Idol, isn't it? That's the idea behind that. And God says we've got to leave that go as well. Because again, very quickly, we start to think about those people, that they look so attractive, they're so good, look at their lives. Maybe I could live like that. Maybe I could do what they do and it would make me feel like I'm some kind of a superstar as well. And we very quickly get off on a wrong track and we lift up to ourselves this other kind of idol. It's actually a person. We know they're a person, but they're somehow elevated into the super status and people copy them. And that is, as we all know, is not a very good idea, because many people who are lifted up in that way at one point in their lives have some kind of almighty crash and do all sorts of terrible things and scandals and whatnot. And suddenly we figure that the superstar really isn't quite as super as they used to be. So God says we're not to regard people in that way. We are all pretty much the same. We all have gifts. We all have abilities. You may have a chance to do it in public. Somebody might see you. You may not. But we all have sins. We all fail. And even in one of these superstars, if they were entirely honest with you, they would tell you, I don't deserve this adulation because I have done many wrong things. And I have done wrong things even to get to this particular point. So that kind of idol is not very good either. And then, of course, we say, well, okay, what about my life? Could bring it down a bit lower, bring the microscope in a little bit closer. Are the things in my life that I am setting up higher than other things, or especially God? Am I really following God in my life and doing what he tells me? Or am I really just chuntering along and not paying any attention? There are certain things I like in my life and I will do those things. I'm very keen on them. They're my hobbies, they're my interests, and I really, really want to do those things. Other things can go by the wayside if needs be. But these things are really important to me. Could be perfectly legitimate things. Could be your schoolwork, for instance. Everybody has to work very hard at school these days. And we want to get good results. We want to get to uni. We want to get this. We want to get that. And we can become so focused on our work, it becomes an idol, because everything else goes out the window. And it's raised up in our minds. This is the greatest thing I do. This is I've got to do this thing because this is to help me get on. And even something perfectly legitimate can become way too big. Maybe even a pet at home. You have a little dog, little cat, little hamster, I don't know what you would have. And we get so obsessed, and people spend a lot of money on animals, and they treat them like human beings, and sometimes they treat the animals better than the human beings in the household. There's a real sort of sense of idolatry going on there, that this animal has somehow been elevated into a position that shouldn't really have. And it can happen with even loving the people in our homes. We can love people to such an extent that even God goes out the window in that way. And we focus all our attention on the people, and God is just out there. And we have all these idols set before us in our lives. Money can be a dreadful idol. I really want to do well. I want to have a good job. I want to be able to afford certain kinds of clothes. And I would want to have a car. And I want. And before we know it, we are setting up for ourselves one massive idol, a kind of a lifestyle that we think that we want and that we certainly deserve. And that is why God says we are not to have idols. So it might start off pictures, religious pictures and things like that. Well, okay, I can see that's not a good idea because that distracts me from the real and living God. It can come down to elevating people who are really important and I think are really talented and wonderful, and trying to emulate people who really shouldn't be emulated. Even ministers and churches have that kind of status sometimes. They're really so venerated. People lose track of who exactly they're worshipping here. And it can come right down to our own lives. What's really important to me? What do I give my time and effort to in a big time? I say I love God. Do I spend any time in His presence? How long do I spend in His presence, just me and Him every day? What, 10 minutes? Much, is it? It's not much for someone that you're supposed to be worshipping, someone you're supposed to be following with all your heart. So really, I cannot examine your heart for you. I don't know what the idols are in your inner core, but we need to deal with them. We need to get rid of them and put them aside and make sure our hearts really do belong to God. God is number one. Nobody else in your life should be number one. Certainly not yourself. God should be number one. And the funny thing is, it may seem to us, well, God will take all my time. Oh, I don't want to do that. You know, it's too much effort. And I don't like to think about those things all the time. And reading my Bible, I don't like reading my Bible all that time. But, you know, as we draw close to God, He draws close to us, the real and living God. And we can know Him in a way that is so wonderful. It's the inner knowing, the spiritual knowing, that He is the living God, that He is my Father, that He loves me, He will never stop loving me, He is my Saviour, He bled and died to save me, He will keep me in all times of trouble, and He is the gracious Spirit, God's Holy Spirit within, who witnesses to me and helps me, and helps me to want the Lord and want to be like Him. And that is the most wonderful thing. And when those things are in place in your life, then the other things will be in place too. It's not a competition. You know, if I give everything to God, I'll have nothing. You know, we give everything to God, and He somehow gives us everything in an amazing way that's really quite hard to explain. But He will care for you. When you're doing your exams, He will care for you. When you need clothes, when you need things in your life, He will provide for you. He will give you the ability, He will give you the strength to have those things, to work and to have those things. And He is trustworthy. He can be trusted. So we must trust Him in this second commandment as well, that I have no idols in my life, no images of any kind. And this also has a, there's another part to this commandment. The Lord suggests that the things that I do impact on other people. This is really quite important. My attitude towards these things of God will impact on all the people around me, because people see what I do. They can see what's important to me, sometimes better than I see myself. And they look and see if it's real. You say you're a Christian? Is it real? You know, how real is it? Is it just a sort of a nice thing that you do? Is it a nice thing so you can have your prayers answered and everything's tickety-boo? God will always provide for your need. Is that all it is, or is it something else? Whenever you're in trouble, whenever you're suffering, does it make any difference? Do people see any difference in you? So what we believe about the Lord, putting Him number one and keeping His commandments, is really important. It impacts on other people. For instance, let's say nobody in your household is a Christian. Mum, dad, the children, nobody's a Christian. And nobody is able to go to church. Nobody has an opportunity to hear what I'm saying to you today. Or any message like that. And then maybe you hear and you believe. Yes, I want that. I want to be a Christian. And you come to know the Lord Jesus. That is going to impact on the other members of your family. Because they'll notice. They'll notice, just like God says in his word. If you keep my commandments, you do what I say, people will notice. And you know what? Sometimes what happens, one person in the family becomes a Christian, and then over a period of time, everybody in the family actually becomes a Christian. And God does an amazing miracle in that family and turns that family into a happy and joyful family who are following him, not just each other or not for themselves. So remember that as well. When I turn away from idols, when I don't have the graven images, when I have a true religion of my heart, people will see my true religion and they will be attracted to the Lord Jesus. They will want to know what happened to you. How did you change? And maybe God will use your testimony to change every member of your family.